And I'm just going to help you look at the notes, because when I orient you to them, then you don't have to worry about it afterwards, y'all. So you can see the title there. I'm a Christian who is a Seventh-day Adventist, but is a seventh day, what's the next three words? Really and still important. The name Seventh-day Adventist carries the true features of our faith in front and will convict the inquiring mind like an arrow from the Lord's quiver. It will wound the transgressors of God's law and will lead. The wounding is for the purpose of leading to repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great quote. Okay, so now what we're going to deal with is the Sabbath. Is it really important? And I'm not going to try and embrace everything of it. I've read many, many books. But you'll notice when you get to the bottom, you have to flip it this way. This will, you know, so you don't just, okay, you got that? Let's try the hand motion here. You just turn the hand motion and it flips over, and then you're looking at the other side. And then when you get through the other point, then you flip back. Does that make sense? Yes. I know that's complicated because we're all old people here. And then on the back, I want to point out something to all of you here, and then I have a question, and then I'll have prayer, okay? On the back, it says digging deeper. And years ago, I took a class on the doctoral level dealing with the Sabbath. And the instructor was Fritz Guy, a great instructor. I really appreciated Fritz Guy. And he got criticized by other masters and doctoral students over and over again because he did something unique in that class that went on for 10 weeks. We never opened any other book but the Bible. And what we did is we were challenged to find every passage where the Bible mentions the seventh-day Sabbath or the Sabbath in any wise, and then to explore that and write the questions that emerged and then seek for answers. And several, I was amazed at how many students were very upset. You know, we have the Bible. We want to know what are some of the criticisms, what are some of the strong points being made by other people. And Fritz stuck to his guns. He said, we'll let that emerge from the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. So you have your own life experience. You bring that to that question that maybe you have, but let's read the Bible. Does that make sense? And that brings me to a quote that I memorized years and years ago. What says the Bible, the blessed Bible? This should our only question be. The teachings of men so often mislead us. What says the Bible to who? To me. It's all first person. We have to know what God's saying to us. And so I put, not every text, but these are major texts that I, in my researching Scripture, these are the ones that stand out. And then you'll notice under the Old Testament where it has a line under Psalm 92. Does anybody know why that is there? Anybody want to just go to that? If you have a King James Bible, some of the modern translations drop out something that's said above the text. A psalm for the Sabbath day. So that was a psalm that was designed as a way to praise what God is doing on the Sabbath day. And I'd love to stake about a half hour on that alone, because there's rejoicing over the destruction of the wicked. And you want to say, why would that be sung on the Sabbath day? And so I'm just going to tease you with that one, but you need to read that and then reread it and reread it and say, see, what are the four things that we're to celebrate? And the first one is the destruction of the wicked. So why? But anyway, So here's the question, and then we'll have prayer. Is a Sabbath really still important? If we live by faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And the subset question is, somebody asks you, why is it important to you, or why should it be important to me? What do you say? And I'm going to ask you to verbalize that later, because we're going to poke at that just a little bit. So get that around in your mind. If somebody were to ask you, why do you keep the Sabbath? Why should I keep the Sabbath? What would you say? Pam, what would you say?
It's the day God rested from creation and the day he rested from salvation.
Okay, good question, good answer. Okay, let's have prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. And with the psalmist, we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We want to lift this day with intentionality and with focus, our eyes fixed on you, the author of all light that shines in and erases doubt and skepticism and sends the shadows fleeing away. And so we turn our eyes to Jesus right now. We pray in his name and for his sake. And let's all say, amen, amen. So here's the question. Is it still important? And the answer is, yes, it is. I'll just tell you right up front. It is. There's no question that the seventh day of the week, Saturday, is the same day Jesus set aside for worship at creation. We don't know how long ago, but maybe about 6,000 years ago. Commanded at Mount Sinai and observed himself while here on earth. The real question is not which day. The more necessary question is why. For what purpose? The Bible clearly states that the Sabbath hours are holy time. But in what way does that mean they're holy? And what are we to do? And isn't all time holy? Should we every day awake to say, this is the day the Lord has made? I'm going to live this day, Sunday, for the Lord. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day. Shouldn't we be doing that? Yes, we should. But the question is, what does God tell us? And that is true. We must on every day. But God had put a blessing in that day. I'm just going to give a little testimony from the Old Testament. All life in the Old Testament was ordered around the days of the week that led to Sabbath. God never named the most of the days of the week. Sunday was just called the first day. Monday was called This is really a difficult question, so you ought to be able to fill in the word. Monday was called? It was never called Sunday or Monday. Tuesday was called? And incidentally, do you know why elections take place on Tuesday? In many countries, it goes right back to the Bible. There's a double blessing on Tuesday. You read it through in Genesis chapter 1. That's just for free. So because there's a double blessing on that day, people begin to say, well, we ought to do our elections on that day so we choose a person that is doubly blessed. Anyway, I'll leave it right there. Wednesday, Thursday, but what about Friday? Was Friday numbered or was it named? It was named. It was called Preparation Day. Yeah, it was a great day. And then Sabbath was the day. 105 languages call Saturday. 105 languages around the world call Saturday Sabbath. Not Saturday, Sabbath. 105 languages, at least that I know of. I have a chart that is 5 feet high. It has every language listed on that. that calls Saturday the Sabbath. Why? Because of creation. God created that day and called it, named it the Sabbath, the day of rest. And it became a symbol of Christ who fills every day with his rest. And so all Jewish life revolved around the revolving of time through the days of the week, and anticipation always built for Sabbath. It was always first day to Sabbath. This is how they would say it. Second day to Sabbath. Third day to Sabbath. Fourth day. Is this Sabbath? No, it's fourth day to Sabbath. Oh, so we're just Sabbath 3 days away. Fifth day. And then it was preparation day. And everybody knew what that was. The party is going to happen tomorrow. And they prepared. And they it was not drudgery. It was a delight. Remember that. Not drudgery. It was a delight. It was a time to pull together with God. And in my childhood, here's how it happened. My mother was consummate at this. She would always, on Friday, there would be a scurrying around, and we knew things were being prepared. Have you polished your shoes? Got them ready, you know? You men, any of you grow up where your parents said something like that to you? Bill? Yep. Man, my dad, he didn't have to say it. He would go out and he would be polishing his shoes. It was like, a date is going to happen. We're going to have a great date, and we got to be ready for it. We don't want at the last moment to grab whatever and go out the door. We want to be dressed for this date. And so the clothes were prepared, and the car was gassed up, and everything was ready. My mother would make food, and then Friday night as sun would set, she would sit at the piano and play hymn number 51 in the hymnal. Anybody know what hymn number 51 is? Day is dying in the west. Heaven is touching earth with rest. Wait and worship while the night sets her evening lamps alight throughout the star. Oh, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of thee. Heaven and earth are praising thee, O Lord Most High. I get choked up now because it meant so much. My parents, it was never a commandment. You do this or else. It was always a delight. And it was like mom would make, we quite often, she would go off and she would buy these, I'm trying to think of the name, a swan of frozen pies. And you think, well, that's a terrible thing. But she knew that dad liked it and Lloyd liked it. And I suspect the other. So she would go get that frozen pie. Have you ever eaten those frozen swan pies? Or was it Swanson? Maybe. Swanson, okay. This thing is not sticking well, but I think, is it irritating you?
No.
Okay, it's irritating me. I will just sit here and not move. And so then she would pull out some candles. The house was all ready. The candles were lit. And it just felt like precious holy time. You're having a date with somebody you really love. And then dad would get us into the front room and we'd have worship, and we'd start by singing Day is Dying in the West. And then we would have a couple other songs that were appropriate. And then he would read something to us, and then we would kneel and pray together. I remember at one of those Friday night worships, we had gotten these little glass coasters you put under the foot of a couch so that the couch won't dig into the carpet. And I had four glass coasters. We hadn't yet put it under the... And so I was sitting there while we were praying, trying to balance on those... It sounds so stupid. But, you know, I was, you know, 7 or 8 years old. I had those four glass coasters piled up, and I tried to sit on that, and I kept squirming around. And finally, my dad just reached over and put his hand on my knee and squeezed. And that's all. And I got my attention. I realized everybody was hearing these glass coasters going back and forth. But my mom's prayers were always, my dad's as well, she would end her Friday night prayers especially the same way with these words. And may it be said, on that day, quoting Isaiah 25:9, and I've heard this hundreds and hundreds of times from my mother. So she's praying this prayer, welcoming the Sabbath, and may it be said in that day, to all of us here, to Milford, Eileen, and Ralph, and Lloyd, and me, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We'll rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen. That's the way I always begin Sabbath. It was a delight. And yet, the Jews began to realize that their keeping of the Sabbath had marred God's plan, and they went into captivity. The last chapter of 2 Chronicles, you can read it. They went in there for 70 years because they refused to honor this relationship with God. We're going to talk in just a moment about what that relationship entitles. So God sent them into captivity for how many years? 70 years. Why 70? The Bible doesn't leave us in doubt. It tells us exactly why. Because you have not kept your Sabbath. And so 70 years they're in captivity, and they got out 70 years later. And as they got out, they started writing laws so they would never dishonor the Sabbath day again. And they had over 500 laws, and I preached on this years and years ago, and there was a man who was not a Christian, but he was a lawyer, and he was coming to church. We were meeting and talking about these issues, and he says, I got something I have to show you. So the next week, he brought to me, he has the Babylonian Mishnah, 20-some volumes that stood 5 feet high, literally. And there was one volume that thick of just Sabbath commandments. It was called Sabbath Commandments. And he had bought that, and he was going through that. And these Jews created all these commandments so they would never break the Sabbath day again. And in doing so, they were willing to crucify Jesus on Friday night and race home to keep the Sabbath day holy. Monumental thought. They would crucify the Creator who gave the Sabbath so they could keep the Sabbath, but get him out of the way. And we're not doing much different today in a different time and place altogether. So I'm going to take you through some reasons why the Sabbath is still important. This is just some. There's many reasons. And here's the main point. Mark 2:27-28. You got it there? Bill, could you stand up and read that text real loud so that everybody hears this? Amen. Well, it's right there in the notes. You got to read it from the notes. Yeah. Although it is contemporary English version. Yep, 2:27-28.
Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
All right. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, so that's the Lord's day. But it was made for man and not us made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to give us a benefit, not that we might give benefit to the Sabbath day. That is absolutely clear. And so here it was. Notice the Sabbath was made for man. It was made for man, made for us. Can you all say amen? Amen. Okay, now flip the page. And here's the two words I want you to burn them into your mind. The Sabbath was a gift before it was a command. When God gave the Sabbath, it was a gift for humanity. It was given before there was ever sin. There was no sinners. There was no Jews. It was not created for an ethnic group. It was not created for just those that lived in this part of the country. It was created for all people, all time, and it was given as a gift and not as a command. And when you get it as a gift, oh, it's so much different. You'll want to unwrap it with joy. I've gotten gifts, quotation marks around that, that were not gifts. They were responsibilities people were giving me. And I knew what it was. I opened them and I was just shaking my head because they want something from me. That isn't true with the Sabbath. God said, I'm giving you something. No strings attached. It's because I love you so much and I'm going to tell you why. Now, here they are. Five reasons. Number one, it is time for rest, reflection, rest, repose. By the seventh day, God had finished his work, and so he rested, not because he was tired. He said, I do not get tired. I do not get weary. I never slumber. I never sleep. It's not for tiredness. It's for a certain cycle of life. I'm telling you, there's a certain ebb and flow. And every seventh day, I want you to stop. You have work. You're having so much fun doing what I created you to do. And then I want you to pull back from what I created you to do to admire what I created you for and who you are. So here's Adam without a navel. I'm guessing that's the one big thing that was different. He didn't have a navel. So how would he know where he came from? I have a navel. It tells me I came from my mother and my father. Their DNA combined to make me all of you the same way, right? And so here's Adam. God created him, and he, on that first day of Adam's life, his first day was not Sunday, it was Sabbath. And he wakes up with his bride beside him, and he looks around at a world that everything is perfect. Now, you and I wake up every morning, and the world around us is not perfect. But when God finished his work, every day he says, at the end of that day, and God looked at the evening and the morning, first day, that's very good. That's good. That's good. But he gets down to the last day and he finishes his creation. And on that last day, the sixth day of finishing his creation, he looks around at everything and he says, that's very good. So Adam and Eve wake up on that first day of their life, that Sabbath. There was nothing that they had to do. There was no running around saying, you know, that flower doesn't have all the fragrance it needs built in. God, I'm going to help you. I'll put more fragrance in that purple flower out there. Oh, and the trees are not right. And there should be, you know, we would do that. I could look around and you can look at this message that I'm sharing right now. And all of you might be in the back of your mind saying, you know, I could say that better than he's saying it. I could be more concise, or I'd expand on that point. We do that all the time. But when God finished his work, there was nothing, nothing. Can you just say the word nothing? Would you say nothing? There was nothing anybody could add to that work. It was indeed perfect. And so that first Sabbath was a time to rest in what God had done. That gives me goosebumps. You know, can you just see some of your kids doing some work and they come up and you can see that that work isn't properly done, but you just rejoice with your child that was saying, I did this. The coat of paint might not be right. The picture that has been drawn might be lopsided. But your child did it. And God, in a way, wants us to revel in the work that He has done for us. Every one of us. He has created things, this whole universe, for us. And the Sabbath day pulls us back from our striving, and we'll deal with that in another one. And it says, look at what God has done. Janice says this often to me, because the news, and we're glad we don't have any national news anymore. We can watch on YouTube, you know, some things, but she said, oh, look what man hath done. Look what man hath done. Mass shootings every day, it seems like, and look what the devil has done. Exactly. And God says, yeah, but would you start first by looking at what I have done? Because if you turn your eyes around and look at all the chaos and the filth and the turmoil around you, you're missing the solution where you look upward and see what God has done. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you. Thank you for reading that, Pam, before as church began. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. We need that. There's so much turmoil. And God says, that's always true. That's not ever been changed. Come to me. Come to me. And so we do that every day. First day to Sabbath. Second day to Sabbath. Third day. Fourth day. Fifth day. And then we get excited. Preparation. Then Sabbath. Every day we're celebrating what God has done. Number two, time for great community. Great community. That's what we're doing right here. And it looks a little odd because you're basically sitting facing towards me. And great community would be with us facing each other and seeing each other and making comments and responding. And so Jesus, when he went back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, the King James says, but the contemporary English, but as usual, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to share from the Bible. So it's a time for great community. God wants us to get away but from the work of the week, but he wants us to get together because we need each other. We need each other. I need you. Can you just say, we need each other. Yeah, look around. We need each other. Now the next one. Number three, a time for joyful, what do you think the word is? Worship. But first you must start respecting the Sabbath as a joyful day of worship. You must stop doing and saying whatever you please on this special day. Then you will truly enjoy knowing the Lord. He will let you rule from the highest mountains and bless you with the land of your ancestor Jacob. The Lord has spoken. Wow. A time for joyful worship. To God be the glory. Great things he had done. So God loved he the world. He gave his son who gave his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gates that all may go in. I think I blew a word or here. But wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Fanny Crosby wrote that song. Jana once sat at her funeral. So that's one of three songs she's requested of me. She's not going to die. I'm not going to let her. So it's a time for joyful worship. And Isaiah, it's a great chapter. You need to read it. We'll reference it in just a moment. But notice down there, it's called doxology. We start worship with doxology. Have you heard that before? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So this, and every day is a great day to praise Him. The word doxology, when you use it, ology means the study of. The study of doxa. What's doxa? It's a Greek word that came out of the voting booth. And that's why I mentioned it earlier. When they voted in Israel's day, they would vote with a stone. They'd have a stone and they'd go up to an urn and they would have a different color, a black stone for one person, a white stone for another, or they would have a stone in front of a candidate and throw a stone in front of them. And as they threw that stone in, okay, they threw that stone in for a candidate, they were doxing. Doxa. It's a word for praise. They're praising that person. So doxology is praise for a person, the study of praise. And on the Sabbath, we just draw back from all the confusion of the world and we have unrestricted praise, doxa, casting our vote for God. And I thank God for that. Number four, a time to help those in... Wow, you folks are so smart. Man, wow. Do you think the Lord wants you to give up eating and act as humbly as a bent over bush? Or to dress in sackcloth and sit in ashes? Is that really what God wants on a day of worship? So there are friends of mine growing up where Sabbath was a most disagreeable day. I grew up, there was always something special, special dessert, some special activity. Jan and I, we had a Sabbath box. And every Friday, we put something new in that box for the kids. And they knew that that box was only open on the Sabbath day. And so Friday night, they'd go to that box. And I'm not a builder in any stretch of the imagination, but I built this box. And I had a little separation on one side for books and the other side for games or little special treats. And we put that, we say there's something in the Sabbath box for you, but you have to wait till after worship and you can get in the Sabbath box. Our kids just love that. They loved it so much that Jana, about 25 years ago, I think, about right? 15 years ago, she wanted to do something special for all the kids. So she had a special made box for each of the kids and gave it to them as a gift. She wanted them to experience the delight and the joy of the Sabbath day that we tried to build into the family. And sometimes it takes work to make those kinds of moments, and we would work hard of it, but our joy to watch them as they would open the box. Okay, Daddy, what's in the box? Or Mommy, what did you get? Well, look in there and find out. And sometimes she'd have something special for them to wear. It was just a delight. But they began to make it an oppressive thing. And growing up, there was a family. They had to be solemn. They had to... I don't want to get into details. It's just too much. It was really... And it was not a delight. It was like you could hardly wait till the day was over with because it was a pain. I'll tell you what it really means, though, to worship the Lord. Remove the chains of prisoners who are chained unjustly. This is in the context of the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath is just not to lay around and look at each other and say, oh, we're so happy. It says, no, the Sabbath is for, since you've been freed by God, make this a day that you're not going to your 9-to-5 job. So share what you can. Free those that are abused. Share your food with everyone who is hungry. Share your home with the poor and the homeless. Give clothes to those in need. Don't turn away from your relatives. A while ago, I heard about a neighbor who wasn't going to get the mail delivered. I heard about it on Friday. the mail wasn't going to be delivered because there was a broken step, and the mailman had put an order up and said, that step, broken step, I can't get to your house safely. I mean, he could have hopped over it, but you know, I'm respectful, you know, he needs to. And so he would not fix that, he would not deliver mail. And the lady said, what am I going to do? And I says, we'll get that step in. And Sabbath morning early, I was out there, I had the board, and we got that step put in on the Sabbath day. That was one of the purposes of the Sabbath. I could have been in church saying, oh, I'm being so spiritual. But Isaiah 58 says, it's a time to share with those in need. Share your home, your food, your clothes, and don't mistreat others or falsely accuse them or say something cruel. Give your food to the hungry and care for the homeless. And there is a church in the area, an Adventist church. Maybe Yuma Pine does that, I know, but there's, what's it called? The Good Neighbor Church. They built pretty much their ministry around feeding people on Sabbath after church. And so they go down, they've done this for years, down to the downtown of Walla Walla, and they're giving food and love, Christian love to people on the Sabbath day. So true Sabbath day, number five, a time to recall that we are, can you figure this one out? How many of you think it's saved by faith? How did you come to the answer? Are you just smart, or was there some indication in what I... Did you read ahead to see what I'd wrote? Okay. Okay. And here's the most important thing I think we can discover from the Bible. I've heard people say many times, oh, that Sabbath day, you know, you're just trying to be saved by obedience to the law. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Sabbath day is not trying to achieve anything in terms of obedience. I'm trying to obey. The Sabbath day is a celebration of what God has done and what I have accepted into my life. Number three points. Number one, faith in Christ's finished work of creation. Adam and Eve looked around. There was nothing that they could do, no work that they had done. You know what? I actually made this flower over there. You look on that bank. I made these flowers, and they're better than what Jesus did. You think they did that? No. All they could do is look around and say, wow, look what he has done. And so it was a celebration of Christ's finished, conclusive work of creation. In 6 days, I made the heaven, the sky, the heaven, the oceans, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, I rested. That's why I made the Sabbath a special day that belongs to me. That's from Exodus 20, verse 11. That throws you a little bit. It's King Contemporary English Version. Number two, the Sabbath is a reminder of Christ's finished work of redemption. Show respect for the Sabbath day. It belongs to me. You have 6 days when you can do your work, but the seventh day of the week belongs to me, your Sabbath. This special day of rest will remind you that I reached out my mighty arm and rescued you from slavery in Egypt. Now, you probably know this, but there's two listings of the Ten Commandments, one in Exodus and one in Deuteronomy 5. And Pam, you made reference to the difference between the one in Deuteronomy 5 versus the one in Exodus 20. Tell us the difference.
Exodus 20 talks about worshiping God, keeping the Sabbath, worshiping God because of creation.
Yeah.
And Deuteronomy 5 says it because he has rescued you from slavery.
Yeah.
Redemption and creation.
So So it was still, remember creation, remember that, incidentally, that was the word the commandment begins with, not do not kill or steal, but remember, meaning what? We would tend to forget, or the devil wants us, because creation points to Jesus, the Creator, and the devil wants worship for what he does and the day that he makes. So I jumped the page. What am I looking for here? Okay. So the commandment after the, when they were going to Canaan, was remember because he has redeemed you. And so on the Sabbath day, I remember that on Friday afternoon, Jesus was on the cross and he cried out almost the same words that he cried at the end of creation week. It is finished. Not for creation, that was already been done, now for redemption. And so he paid the price for my sin. He died for my sin. He died on the cross because of Lloyd Perrin. I'm guilty of the death of the Son of God. Him who knew no sin became sin for me, so that through him I might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love that chapter, beginning with verse 17 all down to 21. Him that knew no sin became sin for me. And when he died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." Heaven and earth shook. Lightning, thunder, darkness came on the whole land. And Christ bowed his head and rested from a finished work of redemption. And just like Adam and Eve had nothing they could do to make creation better, there's nothing we can do to make redemption better. We cannot earn in any way, shape, or form God's love or merit for God. And so all we do is celebrate what God has done. The Sabbath reminds us to celebrate. He's the Creator. Celebrate. He's a Redeemer. He has paid the price. And we need, and where's my Keith back there manning the soundboard? I loved your lesson today. You know, is this the sense that we have nothing to bring to this. God has done this work, and we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus instead of looking around. So Jesus raised his head and cried out with an unusually strong voice, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and died. That's a clear word. And the last thing, and I love this one. I love this one. A time to create holy memories. I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's a good one. And that's accurate. Holy moments, I put down. Holy moments. I went to, in Chicago, I went to Jana, you weren't with me on that, unfortunately, but I went to a orchestra was playing there in Chicago when I was working on my Master of Divinity. And as I was getting ready to go in, right at the doorway going in, they had, they wouldn't do this today because of COVID, I guess, but they had cough drops. And so you could take a cough drop in there because, and it said, I had a cute little phrase I could remember, wish I could remember what it said, but it's like, we're trying to keep create special moments. So if you need this, use it so it won't make it hard. And so we got in there, and you know, if somebody started coughing during the middle of this symphony, it would interrupt it all, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we get holy moments. Right here is a holy moment. We're all together. We're a family. Some of us we've never been as a group together like we are right now, but this is a holy moment. God has said, if you will gather today, where two or three gather in my name, I'm in the midst. And so we do that throughout the week, but on this day, we just put aside all the striving, and we're with God. And so I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to close with a song that I think I picked. What was the song?
Day of Rest and Gladness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Day of Rest and Gladness. There's so much more I could say. I want to ask you a question now. And Pam already answered it, I say, but forget what Pam said, because her answer was right. If somebody were to ask you, why do you keep the Sabbath day? What would be your knee-jerk reaction? Now just think about it. Don't answer. Why would you tell them what it means? Is it something in your head or in your heart? Yeah, both. So without getting into a big dissertation, anybody want to just say what they would say? A sentence or two, no more than a sentence or two. Somebody asks you that question, what would you say?
Special time.
Okay. Okay, special time. Somebody else? Okay, who said that? Because I love the Lord. Okay, okay, okay. Because God loved me. These are all great questions. Answer. Yeah, Jay.
God gave it to us as a gift to
I think you've been listening to the sermon, but it probably preceded anything I said today, I think. Anybody else? Wow, that's so beautiful. I love that. That's great. I'm going to suggest that God will help you answer that in the correct fashion. But people don't need to know what's in your head as much as what's in your heart. And then you can share the head later. A lot of times people are just saying, why are you doing this? And I'll say, well, I've discovered that in the Bible, I can love Jesus even more as I follow a plan he laid out in Scripture. You want to love him even more, don't you? Does God have a plan? Is that Sabbath day involved in that plan? And the answer is yes. He's called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, and there's so many things we get into. And so be ready to share what God means to you. I had some little story I was going to tell you at the end. I don't remember what it was. Is this good stuff from Scripture?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Reasons to celebrate. A memorial that God's created. He redeemed. We are righteous by faith. A sign of sanctification. We didn't even get to that. A sign of sanctification that he's making us holy. And I do want to take just a moment on that, but a sign is not the end. It's pointing where you're going. And the Sabbath is called a sign that the Lord God sanctifies us. So it's just a way that God's working in our life. He's doing a work, not me, him, and the Sabbath is that sign. Anyway, Father in heaven, thank you so much. I forgot what that story was. I don't think it's important now. It's just that you have done everything that we need for salvation and creation. And when we finish our work week today, I look back on things that I've done, and I see so many things I would do better or different or not do at all. And everybody here this morning, Lord, is saying the same thing. We wrote something, said something, something in our work. We could have done it a little better or different. So we come to the Sabbath, and we, with all of our work in our hands, and we look at it and say, we've made mistakes. And God says, lay down your work and look at what I have done. So, Lord, today we want to look at what you have done. You created us. You redeemed us. You've sanctified us. And then the last thing I didn't mention was from one Sabbath to another, all flesh, Isaiah 66, will come and worship before me. From one Sabbath to another. And so it's a sign of recreation, renewal. We love you. Can we all just say in prayer, Lord, we love you. You're Lord of my life. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.